A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery with the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Quite the mishmash of music there for a minute. Love it. Hey, we got lots going on in the program. And so the PGA Championship's going on, of course, this weekend. I'm not a betting man. I don't do it. I just don't do it. Like, I'll go to Vegas sometimes, put like $20 on red. Win or lose, I just walk away after that. You know, hey, fun, I found $20. Or, well, I paid $20 to just walk away and lose. I'm prepared to lose the $20. There's a dude who put $20,000 on Tiger to win the PGA Championship.
Yeah, 60-1.
So he'd win $1.2 million. But the reality is he's going to lose $20,000.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
I'd love to meet the gambler that actually...
Well, like, what are you seeing here, buddy?
That actually makes money.
You just wanted to be the guy that an anonymous dude who put $20,000 down on Tiger to win the PGA Championship at 60-1? So there you go. I mean, you win $1.2 million if Tiger wins. That's amazing. But the reality is Tiger Woods is not going to win the PGA Championship. So sorry.
I don't know.
Stop.
He's not limping anymore. He's better. He's not limping. Look, if anybody could do it, Tiger Woods could do it. Tiger Woods could win the PGA. I'm telling you, Tiger Woods is going to win. He's going to win another major before he's done.
John Rahm is now 12-1, and Scottie Scheffler is now 11-1 to win this thing. Those guys are the favorites, and those are not very good odds, even for them. So this is a tough tournament to win. So I'm just saying that the guy who put $20,000 down on Tiger to win the tournament, he must treat that $20,000 the way I do $20. He must have enough money to treat the $20 to me is $20,000 to this guy.
Right.
That must be the kind of person that it is.
See, I wouldn't.
Which means that the $1.2 million actually doesn't mean that much either.
I wouldn't want to put $20 down.
$20?
No.
On Tiger, you mean?
No.
Because you know you'd lose it.
No.
Oh.
No, because you don't get that much money.
So $20 would be $120 for you, right? Is that what we're talking about? No.
It'd be
$1,200. You'd get $1,200 back.
For putting down $20.
Ooh, not bad. I'm going to call somebody after this. The spring sale continues.
Who are you going to call?
I don't know.
The Ghostbusters? Is that who you're going to call?
Everybody says they've got a guy, but I don't want to call their guy.
People do not gamble.
They're like, where do they live? Oh, in another state. His name's Guido. And you go, no, I'm out. I'm not doing this. The spring sale continues at Davis Vision. Time to ditch those glasses or contacts, fellas. Call Davis Vision today. Ask for the spring special. Save $1,000 right now off of LASIK. Call Robin, 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Check them out online, DavisVisionMD.com. DavisVisionMD.com.
Do you know why I hate Luka?
I thought we determined yesterday we don't hate him nearly as much because
he beat
Devin.
You know why? Because he doesn't look like he's trying that hard. Like, really, yeah. And it's like, and he always gets open. And then you know what he does when he gets
open?
He makes the darn shots. This is my gripe about the Utah Jazz. They don't have anyone that can do that. They don't have anyone that they go that comes into the building and go, uh-oh, the Jazz have X, and we just can't stop him. We need someone who just cannot be stopped, night in and night out.
It's tough too.
Where is that guy? And he's not a unicorn.
Right.
He exists. He's out there.
But, I mean, Luka put all the work in, right? Except for it just doesn't look like it.
Right.
That's why you were talking about Larry Bird, I think, yesterday, and how – was it you? You said, I know who he is. Larry Bird.
Yeah, totally.
Because Larry Bird's easy shooting, he looked like he wasn't trying that hard.
No.
His shot is so specific to him. Like, yeah. You could see that Larry Bird shot, and you'd go – holy cow, it's just going to go in. If he's in the corner, it's done. It's in.
There's a video of him where he's trying to explain his shooting. And he goes, I don't put the ball back over my head because I can't see it where it's above my head. And he shoots it, and he makes it. He was demonstrating how not to shoot, and he still made it.
He goes, well, that's a bad example.
And he goes, I just make it.
Sorry, I don't know.
Yeah. He says, I can't miss.
He's like, here's how you don't hit a home run. Oh, shoot, I hit another home run. Yeah. So I look at a guy like Luka and I go, it does look kind of effortless. He has a little bit of a, he's 23, isn't he?
He's young.
Yeah. That's why I don't like him.
Young and a little dumb.
He's not
like this cut.
No, I know.
See,
that's the thing. You see Giannis and you go, oh, look at that. Look at Giannis.
Yeah.
He's a cut dude. He looks like an Adonis.
Kind of look at everyone else in the NBA except for like Zion. You know,
Nikola Jokic just won the freaking MVP again, and that guy looks like he plays a Russian villain off of a movie where he's like.
Maybe there's something to being soft and supple.
Okay, you know what? New name of the show. Hey, type it up. Soft and supple.
Soft and supple.
3 to 7 p.m. on the Zone Sports Network.
Luka Doncic.
Don't ever say supple on these airwaves ever again. It's disgusting. Yeah, it's one of those words I don't like.
Yeah, it gets worse the more you say it.
I know. Don't say it. So we're looking at this list of Pac-12 games across the board, and now that they've made the announcement today that the Pac-12 is going to be playing a championship game not based off of North and South Division winners, but now the top two highest winning percentages in conference play. And you're like, well, would that change that much? Yes, it would. But the biggest games that they have right now on the Pac-12 schedule, good local tie-ins too, Utah and Florida. First one right off the bat.
It's really kind of one of those games that you go, this sets the tone for the whole conference. Is the conference really serious about having a playoff contender? And those early season games out of conference with big schools – they kind of set the tone. Oregon did it a year ago. This is that game.
See, my brother lives in Florida, and he's like, I'm going to that game. I'm definitely going to this game. I go, that's awesome. Because the reality is, this is an SEC team that is got a brand-new coaching staff, and they're trying to prove themselves, right? So they know exactly who's coming into town. They know that the Pac-12 champion, Rose Bowl, barely losing to Ohio State team is coming into the swamp the very first week. And they know that they probably looked and said, hey, there may have been a time where they could look and go and not take Utah seriously, but there's no such version of that now. Utah gets taken seriously now. Until they're not Pac-12 champions anymore, they're going to be looked at seriously by every team that they play. And Florida's going to be no different. And so there's going to be And you're on the road. I mean, that's the thing, is they're playing at the Swamp. If they win that game,
pray
at the
that
swamp,
this is a night game. Pray that this is a night game.
Do you think it will be?
I hope so.
You're saying that because you have to be there at the booth.
Oh, I don't care about that.
It's going to be hot as heck. Not because the AC will kick on. If Bill opens a window, you go, I'm not your friend anymore.
No, the humidity, I love humidity.
Oh, you,
I love
you,
playing in humidity.
Right, you've.
I just know the challenge. Look, Utah's a better team than Florida. And we talked to Yogi Roth yesterday, and he says it takes 18 months to build culture. in a program, right? That's what everybody's saying these days.
Right, and he was saying in reference to Lincoln Riley. But
to Lincoln Riley at USC.
Even more so down in Florida.
Florida's dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
And they probably don't have the same athletes that they're even getting at USC. I mean, Florida. So really, the only like leveling the field thing here is humidity. It's just the weather, and if it'll just because Utah go whoo, yeah, man, our energy is just soaked.
BYU at Oregon. This is one that they've put down as the biggest games in the Pac-12 for this year. And it's second on the list, BYU at Oregon. They put just 12 games on this thing, and they went through the full Pac-12 schedule, and they thought that this one was a very interesting one. Now, Oregon is playing Georgia right at the front end of the season. But I think that they look at that and they go, that doesn't feel like a W. That doesn't feel like it's as closely contested. BYU going up to Oregon, here's what the write-up says. BYU is no joke. Jaren Hall, the Cougars quarterback, finished last season 15th in the country in QBR, ahead of guys like Hendon Hooker and Will Levis. The offensive projects should be, or the offensive prowess of the Cougars should be very good this year. It will test Oregon. A 1-2 record coming out of a non-conference slate could look very, very bad for Dan Lanning because they're coming off of possibly losing at Oregon, I mean at Georgia, which they probably are going to, or down at the Georgia Dome. And then if they lose to BYU there at home, that's not a good start for Dan Lanning.
Autzen Stadium is a very tough place for people to play.
Yeah.
The Oregon folks will be excited.
Hey, but you just
this
said
this will be early on.
18 right. months to make culture.
No, I know. And that really is a thing. And that's the other thing with Oregon. You know, maybe they're a year away from really making it happen and really having everything gel together. BYU is going to be formidable, and they could potentially BYU could potentially go there early on in the season. I think culture and developing a program is there's a chance for early season losses by these big time programs like Oregon, like USC.
Well, the reason they put this on here, the BYU game was over the Oregon Georgia game was because Georgia is looked at like. I mean, they're a 12.5 point favorite right now, so that just doesn't feel like a win for Oregon. This one is BYU and Oregon are much more closely contested, and so you have to. It's like you better win that one, especially because it looks like you're going to be coming off of a loss at Georgia.
You'll know a lot about Oregon though playing at Georgia. You're going to learn a lot about Oregon, even regardless of what happens.
I don't understand this one.
This one's a stupid one. We shouldn't even talk about it.
I think it's funny because no. Here's why we should talk about it. Because Lincoln Riley is just they're begging to talk about this guy. So much so that they've put the USC and Oregon State game as one of the more important games going into or for the season for the Pac-12. Not just USC, for the entire Pac-12. They said if they and here's why I think you should care, Scott. Because your whole thing is imagine USC and Utah playing in Salt Lake City as single-digit ranked teams. Game day would be there, all these things. But they said the possibility is they could be heading into this September 24th game against Oregon State in Corvallis against a pretty good Beaver team.
I don't think this is the tough game for USC. I think Stanford is.
You think Stanford's more difficult than Oregon State?
Yeah. I do.
What?
And Stanford's on the road as well.
Utah's back on the list on these 12 games with Utah at UCLA. That's a good pick because
UCLA might be Utah's toughest game this year.
I hope so. I hope UCLA is a good team.
Yeah.
I hope that they supplant USC at least for the time. Because I think that they have all the pieces there. And Utah needs a decent team out of the South to look even better. Make that schedule look even better.
Well, UCLA is going to start things off with gangbusters though.
What do they have?
They have Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama, then a road trip to Colorado.
Oh my God!
Then they're going to face Washington, and then Utah.
So hold on. How many directional Alabama schools are they playing that aren't Alabama? Bowling Green, Alabama State, South Alabama. Those are your first three games at home. Who set this schedule up, Chip Kelly?
Yeah, that's
why you look at UCLA and go.
So you
hold
can't
on
you can't read into what UCLA is based off
until,
of early
until
season
after
success.
They play Utah.
No,
that's why this game's a big one.
Which actually plays well for a team like Utah when you're not up against the speed and kind of the and you it hurt Utah a couple of years ago when they actually went to USC and they'd played all these really easy non-conference games and all of a sudden the speed of USC was just a little bit much for them. Possibly something like that could happen at UCLA.
Part of the thing, the reason they put this as such a big game is because they're supposed to be 5-0 after that, after right. that run of teams. So if they can beat Utah, that would actually be maybe the biggest win in Chip Kelly's
It would be a big
time.
Game. No question, yeah.
Even bigger than the 62-point that they put, the 62 points they put up against USC last year. Because that USC team was garbage. Washington State at Oregon State, fine, whatever. USC at Utah obviously made the list. This is not just the battle for the South at this point. This is now going to be the battle for who could possibly be a Pac-12 champion. And
these teams are undefeated.
We'll know who USC is by then.
Yeah. These two teams are undefeated, and potentially they could be when they go into this game. You're looking at College Game Day is going to be here. It's going to be the highlight of the schedule. They'll probably, you know, it's going to be the, it could be a game of the week. This might be the biggest game in all of the Pac-12 in the regular season, period, if you ask me.
Could you imagine?
Especially now that conference record matters
above
everything else. Yeah.
Utah at Oregon, November 19th. That's the last Utah game tied into this schedule, the most important games on the Pac-12 schedule this year. Here's what's interesting about this. It's not just, you know, the potential to be – I mean, they played each other twice last year. It wasn't even close. So how – and then they've got to wait all this time, almost a year since they faced them at the – you know, for the first time here in Salt Lake and then in the Pac-12 championship game, neither of which were close. So they could be playing for – they could be playing this game and then possibly aiming for another rematch in the Pac-12 championship.
Late in the season – attrition's the thing, right? Are you healthy? Are you fresh? Are you worn out or mentally, physically? And that's really going to play into this game. Where are these teams physically? Where are they mentally at the latter part? And it'll be a big key to who wins.
All right, let's take the break here. We'll come back. More to go around the corner. When we return, we've got our What Are the Odds? A Wednesday edition of What Are the Odds Around the Corner. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. Oh, we guess what? We have to qualify somebody to be our PGA Championship Uinta Golf Major Giveaway qualifier. Okay? We're going to do that when we come back. Stay right here with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.